This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
We will definitely not burn the Quran.
If you could build a church on a site, you could build a synagogue on a site, if you could build a Hindu temple on a site, then you should be able to build a mosque on the site.
If I knew this would cause this kind of pain, I would not have done it. Given that, why don't you undo it, or at least do it differently from this point on?
We are exploring all options as we speak right now.
One can't prove that God doesn't exist, but science makes God unnecessary.
I can't help thinking that when Hawking talks about this grand design, the final theory that explains everything, doesn't that appeal at some level to the scientist's desire to be a bit like God?
Florida truck drivers love Issues Etc.
We talk about the coarsening of American culture, and there's no doubt about it. It's coarser, it's cruder than it's ever been, at least in our context. And of course, civilizations do this. They tend to kind of fall apart after a time. It's reflected in our way we talk, the way we act, the way we entertain ourselves. I was watching recently one of these shows that rounds up all the reality TV shows. Don't ask me why I was, but I did. And I thought to myself, these people seem oblivious to the fact that their behavior is out of control. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, 17th of September. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about shamelessness with Colleen Carroll Campbell here at the first part of this hour. And then we'll talk to Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service about International Quran Burning Day that was planned, then canceled. And we'll wrap up today's program playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Four soundbites for you to listen to and then vote for 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to talk about shamelessness on this Friday afternoon, Colleen Carroll Campbell. She's host of a weekly television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
On the subject of shamelessness, you recently were on an airplane and got to see this, or at least hear this, firsthand. Tell us your story.
Sure. It was last weekend, and I don't get to travel for speaking engagements as much as I did before my kids were born last year. So this was a rare occasion, and I was looking forward to a little peace and quiet. It was kind of late at night on a plane, dark plane. People are trying to sleep. And there was a group of guys ahead of me, and the fellow ahead of me was 20-something, crew-cut glasses, kind of a slight fellow, had a laptop out, was showing his seatmate, whom he apparently knew, some pictures from the last weekend and explaining all of his drunken sexual escapades. And his voice grew louder and louder the more he got into the details of his latest conquests, idiosyncrasies, and it was pretty obscene, a lot of four-letter words, a lot of unnecessary description. And by the time he sort of reached the crescendo of all this explanation, about a third of the plane could hear him, including, unfortunately, me, who was sitting right behind him. I kept trying to sort of lean into the window so I could hear the engine instead of him and get some shut-eye, but of course it didn't work. And the whole experience struck me not because it was unusual, but because I think it's actually becoming pretty common, at least in my experience. And it got me reflecting a little bit on how much of our lives we divulge in front of strangers and how little shame there is anymore in a lot of what we divulge in public.
You say that the technology, which is now ubiquitous, is not alone to blame for this.
That's right. Well, certainly cell phones are a big part of the problem, but it isn't, I think, just technology. In fact, just 2 days after this fellow, I was at a bakery here in St. Louis ordering a cake for my kid's birthday. And one of the women working behind the counter approached the other one, who was attempting to take my order at the same time, and began explaining how, finally her married boyfriend was going to dump his wife and come live with her, and things were going to work out great. And, loud as she could be, as if she were discussing, the geraniums in her garden. So it was just interesting to me, again, not the first time I've had this experience. I think more and more, again, with cell phones, we tend to get this in the doctor's office and waiting in line and at the mall and all of that. But if you look at, for instance, the publishing industry, the idea of telling it all, bearing it all, has certainly preceded these new technologies, and it's been a big part of the book industry for more than a decade. I mean, today's memoirs, the memoir genre is extremely popular, but today's memoirs are much more explicit and sort of cringe-inducing than the ones published even just a decade ago. They make the earlier tell-all autobiographies look, you know, fairly reticent by comparison. And I think this is particularly interesting in political publishing, where we see more and more that the way you make your name as a pundit these days is to work briefly for a famous politician and then turn around and sort of confess his sins by proxy, explaining to all the world shortly after leaving his employ, you know, all of his idiosyncrasies, everything that's wrong with him and his positions and why you renounce them all. And in the meantime, you know, of course, score plenty of publicity for yourself. So, you know, we used to think of that sort of behavior as shameful, kind of dishing on your old employer, and as disloyal. But today, it gets you an interview with Oberman or O'Reilly. It gets you instant fame. And I think, again, that's part of this larger culture of disclosure that we live in, where we just don't know how to keep private things private.
Could it be that because our culture, by and large, has eliminated the definition of sin from its lexicon, yet we still have an innate knowledge of it, we just have an impulse to say what we've done?
I think that's exactly right, Todd, and I've been noticing this for years. It's interesting. As a Catholic, I'll see some fellow Catholics of this sort who think confession is too old school and they don't need any part of that, but they'll trounce on a talk show and just confess their sins to the entire world and seek absolution from Dr. Phil. And they're not getting what they want, and they keep running around sort of divulging everything to everyone, hoping they can get some sort of a peace that, of course, we know only comes with confessing your sins to God, not to other people, in the sense of doing it on television, for instance. Now, in the context of a faith community, certainly in the Catholic tradition, confession is a sacrament, and it's considered something that we need. But in the Christian tradition in general, just the idea that we need to turn to God with our sins and not run around and sort of gossip about ourselves in hopes that someone can tell us that, hey, it's really okay. And that's kind of what I think we're looking for. But I think, on the other hand, we also have this same obsession with hearing the salacious details of others' mistakes, and that's where we get something like the Tiger Woods saga that we saw, where, you know, the pundits were up in arms, not because he was a compulsive philanderer who, obliterated his wife's trust in him, but because he wouldn't get up in front of a mic and explain exactly how many women there were and tell us all the gory details. And because he wouldn't do that, he got, I think, a lot more bad press. And the pundits commenting on this specifically said, well, you know, if he'd come clean and really give us the full story, we'd be okay with this. It's the fact that he won't do that. Well, when you think about it, his behavior is reprehensible, and I'm no fan of Tiger Woods, but what right do we have to demand details that obviously would just further humiliate his estranged wife? It's a very strange phenomenon, and yes, I do think our confessional culture is related to the fact that so few of us see the need anymore to confess our sins.
If you turn on television, generally speaking, reality TV, you see the shamelessness on display and almost a complete obliviousness to the fact that my behavior is not just rude and boorish, it's out of control. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think it is a problem. I certainly think reality TV has contributed to this culture of shamelessness and this culture of disclosure. And, you know, we see kids picking up on this, the whole sexting trend where you send nude pictures of yourself to your classmates or using your Facebook page as an online diary. Parents are hiring paparazzi crews to trail their tween and teen kids on their birthdays so they can feel like sort of the Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton scandal-shrouded star for a day. So it's a culture-wide phenomenon. I think it's a serious problem, and I do think it has repercussions that go beyond the embarrassment of the individual. I mean, some of these folks don't seem to notice that they are the butt of jokes and they are not the stars that they may think of themselves in terms of reality TV stars, but You know, even if we're just laughing at them, we are watching. And increasingly, I think in our culture today, the question is, are people noticing me? Are they watching me? And I don't particularly care what they're noticing me for. It's almost irrelevant. You know, you can be Monica Lewinsky, or you can be, you know, a head of state. And either way, as long as you get the attention, doesn't much matter what you get the attention for. And I think our kids are watching this, and they're learning that being a celebrity, even if it means being shameless about sins that you ought to confess in the context of your faith community and keep out of the TV and radio and internet sphere, that being a celebrity is all that really counts. And any way you have to do that is justified. And so, you know, I think it's a real problem for us as Christians and as Americans, and I think we need to begin by flipping off the TV, the radio, and the salacious websites and showing our kids that we're not going to be part of the audience for this sort of thing.
With about 20 seconds, in a nutshell, what has happened to shame?
Well, I think it's gone the way of so many other things that, you know, we know from psychologists that shame internalized and focused on yourself with no way out, and certainly when you don't have a faith community to turn to and you don't have trust in the mercy of God, that can be a very toxic thing. But there's a certain amount of shame in public life that's actually a very healthy thing. It's a protective mechanism, and we need to remember that, and it protects above all our children and their innocence. The sense of having a bit of shame about things that you've done, overexposing yourself, your family, even your own body, that can be a protective thing that reminds us of our dignity and reminds us of boundaries we shouldn't cross. So I think in telling our kids never to be ashamed, I think we should watch that message and tweak it a bit. Shame can be toxic, but it can also protect them, and I think we need a bit more of it these days in our public life.
Colleen Carol Campbell is host of a weekly television program called Faith and Culture. She's authored the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read them at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Colleen, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back, we'll talk about how the media covered that Florida pastor who planned to burn the Quran. Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service will be our guest. Are you looking for a new devotional resource? Well, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is titled God Granted, Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase God Granted by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A Christ-centered, cross-focused devotional resource, God Granted, Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.